Terry Somerville here with you, and I've got a treat here today. I've got Barry Cardall from Sunday. Part one, part two, part three. This is part one of a message on God being the creator. I'll tell you what, you can't go wrong. This is a great word. And this one, he's actually looking at some of the stuff that's out there, the atheism, those that oppose the gospel, supposedly on scientific principles, and yet they try to find God within the box that God created, which doesn't make any sense at all. God is greater than his creation, right? But he has shown himself inside of creation. And so we're going to hear a whole lot of that. And then it moves on into part two, tomorrow, the implications in our life. So you don't want to miss that. But here it is. Here's Barry Cardall from the Campbell River Vineyard.
We're starting a new sermon series this week, and it is called God Is. And I like this. It's God, where God is, where we're trying to describe the indescribable. We're going to attempt in this series as best we can to describe someone who is, in a sense, indescribable. We're going to look at God's self-disclosure of his attributes, of his character as found in his word, the scriptures. And let's bow our heads and pray just as we start this series that God would do everything with it that he intends when he put it on our hearts. So Lord, we believe this series is not by accident. We believe that you are really speaking to us about, Lord, what is the next thing you want us to teach on? What is the next thing that we need to really have a fresh revelation of so that, Lord, we can be and do all that you call us to do? I pray, Lord, this morning that your Spirit would just hover over this place, just the way that you did at the beginning of creation. You hovered over the waters, and that, Lord, you began to speak things into existence. We heard about your voice today, how powerful your voice is, and that, Lord, you hover over the waters, you speak over the waters, and then creation happens, things happen that totally change our circumstances. We pray, Lord, that that would be present both today and throughout this series. And Lord, I pray for myself, just fill me, use me, may I be a vessel of your truth this morning. Guide me through this message, and I pray for all of us in this place to open our hearts to receive what you're doing, what you're saying, and that it would transform us. We pray to all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay, well, one of my favorite scholars is a fellow by the name of R.C. Sproul. He died, actually, December of last year. And he was asked one time a question. This was a couple of years ago. He was asked, what is the greatest spiritual need in the world today? And his response was very interesting to me. This is what he said. He said, what the world needs is to understand the true identity of God, the true nature of God. Why? Because, he said, many people in our world reject faith. They reject God and Jesus because they think they know what God is like. They think they understand the story of God, but they really don't understand it. Then he was asked a second question. What is the greatest need for the church, for the people that already believe and are worshiping him? And he said this. His response was to understand the true identity, the true nature of God. And he said this, because if we, the church, truly understood who God really is and what God is really like, then we would not continue to struggle with all of the same issues that the rest of the world struggles with. And we would better be able to convey the two people who do not yet believe a picture of God that is irresistibly compelling, that's relevant, and that answers the deepest needs of the human spirit. What do we need? We need, according to R.C., to understand the true nature, the true identity, the true person of God more and more. And so that's kind of what I hope happens throughout this series for all of us. I hope that you get a bigger picture of who God is and that it would indeed change the way you look at life, the way that you react to situations in your life. So we're going to be looking at these amazing attributes of God. And my prayer is that you're going to encounter in the midst of this the one true God. Amen? Now, as I often do in a series, I'm going to start at the beginning. I like to start at the beginning, so that's what we're going to do this morning. And we're going to look at a foundational attribute of God. And it's described, obviously, right at the beginning of the Bible. And it is this concept: God is the Creator. Now, before the mid-1800s, most people, I would say, believed in the idea of God as the Creator. The general consensus was that when they looked at everything that is, that some outside force must have created all that we see around us. There had to be some kind of intelligent creator that got this whole thing going. But with the onset of Darwin's theory of evolution, there was the Age of Enlightenment that came along, and it brought about all of these different concepts. Some of them are good. I'm not dissing it. Science became the predominant view, though, and the concept of God as the Creator became actually the minority view, or it's probably the minority view even today. Schools, for instance, stopped allowing anyone to teach that. So we don't teach that anymore. Universities and the academia, by and large, mock it. And we're going to look at a little video clip now that speaks about this view of the world towards the idea of God as Creator. So let's watch it.
Biologist P.Z. Myers, who runs the pro-Darwin anti-religion blog Pharyngula, says science eroded his faith as well.
I never hated religion. I found religion quite comfortable, and I liked the people in it. What led to the atheism was learning more about science, learning more about the natural world, and seeing these horrible conflicts with religion.
And it was then, when I discovered evolution, when I discovered Darwinism, that I realized that this magnificently elegant, stunningly elegant explanation, which I didn't quite understand to begin with. When I did understand it, then that finally killed off my remaining religious faith.
Religion is an idea that gives some people comfort, and we don't want to take it away from them. It's like knitting. People like to knit. You know, we're not going to take their knitting needles away. We're not going to take away their churches. But what we have to do is get it to a place where religion is treated at the level it should be treated. That is, something fun that people get together and do on the weekend and really doesn't affect their life as much as it has been so far.
So what would the world look like if Dr. Myers got his wish?
Greater science literacy, which is going to lead to the erosion of religion. And then we'll get this nice positive feedback mechanism going, where as religion slowly fades away, we get more and more science to replace it. And that will displace more and more religion, which will allow more and more science in. And we'll eventually get to that point where religion has taken that appropriate place as you know, side dish rather than the main course. And if you separate out the ethical message from religion, what have you got left? You got a bunch of fairy tales, right?
I think that God is about as unlikely as fairies, angels, hobgoblins, etc.
Religion, I mean, it's just fantasy, basically. It's completely empty of any explanatory content. And it's evil as well.
Yeah, that's partly why I want you to watch it. faith is like knitting? Really? I mean, come on. I just think that is, you got to be kidding me. That's ridiculous. Now, this is a little bit of a dated slide. It's from a movie by Ben Stein. It's called Expelled, in which he talked about the fact that any scientist that believes that there could be a creator is actually being mocked, and they're often being kicked out of universities and so on. So people are afraid. Some scientists are actually afraid to come out with the idea that there might be a creative force, an intelligent designer that got the ball rolling. And so this sort of explains why people are afraid to come out. But what I wanted you to realize is that something new is happening today. Some scientists now are starting to rethink the idea of the origin of life in the cosmos. I talked a little bit about that on Easter Sunday. But what happened was that first, there was the discovery of the Big Bang Theory. Now, the universe, what they found out is the universe is in fact expanding, which means basically that it had a beginning. And before this discovery, most cosmologists and physicists believed that the universe was eternal and that it was constant. This discovery that the universe was in fact expanding and there was radiation coming back at us, and that this all meant that there was actually this explosion and that everything is kind of going out this way, that radically shifted the view of scientists on how the universe functions, what's happening in the universe. And what I want you to get this morning when we think about this is just this fact. The Bible had it right. Okay? And science kept saying the Bible was wrong, that God was not right. And one famous cosmologist said, it's like we were putting all the pieces together, looking out at the stars, and out at the heavens in a sense, and trying to figure out how this all came to be, and then suddenly we discovered this reality about the Big Bang Theory, and he says we climbed up this cliff and we looked at the top of the mountain and we found a whole bunch of theologians that already got there. And I say that, I mean, it's complex. This doesn't mean that all these scientists believe in the God of the Bible, but it does mean that they were shifted. Suddenly, the universe has a beginning, and this shifted everything. Now there is another large shift happening today, and it is because of the newly discovered fine-tuning of the conditions necessary for the universe to even exist. For instance, the universe is expanding at a particular rate. If that expansion was even 1 millimeter, and I watched this little video where I don't know if she's a believer or not, but she is a physicist, and she said, if you took all of the sand on every beach on Earth, and you were going to increase or decrease the speed in which the universe is expanding by the equivalent of 1 grain of sand, the universe would either contract back on itself or would completely obliterate itself. That's how fine-tuned it has to be for life to exist, for all that we have, for us, for you and I to be here. The fine-tuning of the universe is just amazing. And even Christopher Hitchens, one of the primary sort of atheist that argued with all these Christians over the years, they big, you know, debates and everything. Just before he died, he said that the one thing that still haunts him around faith or the idea of God is this issue. He said, this is not a small issue. This is something atheists have to deal with, and it is troubling. And many, many people are shifting now because of this reality. And also what happened was the discovery of DNA and the discovery of the complexity of DNA. The everything that has to be there in order for proteins, single cell proteins, to even exist. And then for them to fold the way that DNA is, they looked at it, they said, they used to think that the human cell was kind of like a blob of jello. And then they discovered when they looked at the human cell that it's actually like a galaxy. It is so intricately functioning. There are little mechanisms in it. It is like the complexity of it, and this is their point, the complexity of the human cell, of the single cell. Because remember what they're saying is that immaterial, things that were not living, somehow combined and became living. And they're saying that in order for that to happen, folks, you need to understand how many things have to be just perfectly, perfectly right. And the number is something like 10 to the 164th, which is just trillions at one and trillions upon trillions upon trillions upon trillions. You might think, now their answer to this always was simply this. You give it enough time, it'll happen. Okay? But what scientists are now saying is because we know that the universe had a beginning, and because we know roughly and can calculate how old the universe is, now they're saying there's not enough time. You understand what I'm saying? There is not enough time here for inanimate objects, this stuff, to suddenly create a single cell. And even just, this is even just for a single cell to be created. This is what they're saying. Okay? Now, think about this. Are there just a bunch of single cells laying around on the earth right now? Look around you. The complexity of human beings. The fact that actually the fine-tuning of the universe and everything that's required to create life is even here. But not just that, that life, even if you believed in evolution, which I'm not going to debate today, but even if you believe that the process in which God did it is evolution, the fact is that we have beings who can contemplate the origin of species, that can even think about it, that can even comprehend things like morality and issues like that, that we are actually searching for the meaning of life, that kind of complex human organism. It is just, people are saying, not possible that that could have happened so quickly in the universe without some kind of direction.
All right, there we go. That is part one of three parts from Pastor Barry Cardall at the Campbell River Vineyard. God, the Creator. Part two tomorrow.